If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn to Judges chapter 6. That's where we're going to be looking at this morning. You can read the first few verses of Judges chapter 6. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, and the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they had come up with their livestock in their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. They would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Interesting to note, isn't it? Why did Israel suffer? Because they worshipped foreign gods. They turned away from God. They did, as the Bible says, evil in the eyes of the Lord. Result, they suffered. God had promised to increase Israel, but sin stunted their growth. Results, the Israelites found themselves imprisoned, surrounded by other nations. They were living in dens and caves and hiding. Result of sin, for a period of 7 years, the Midianites, along with the Amalekites and the other eastern people, invaded their country. They came up on their camels and invaded the land. They ruined all their crops and killed their sheep. It was so bad that the Israelites called upon the Lord for help. God sent a prophet to Gideon and reminded him that he'd saved them from Egypt and brought them up to a fruitful land. But where was Gideon? He was hiding in a cave, hiding away, threshing his wheat. And strangely, he could not understand why all this was happening. Gideon was reminded that God had told them not to worship other gods, but they'd ignored God's warning and worshipped the god of the Amorites. Having been told that, I find that Gideon then asked the angel of the Lord, "Why has all this happened to us?" You find that amazing after what he's just been told. They had blatantly disobeyed God. And I think this is something that we need very much to take to heart. If we follow the ways of evil, if we do things that we know that are wrong, if we worship other gods and make other people sort of higher than Jesus in our lives, whatever, do not be surprised if trouble follows you. When we do evil things, we're opening the door to our lives for the devil to come in and have a field day. What happens in reality is when we do something wrong, it's like there's a door opening our heart for the devil to come in. You'll come in and spoil what it is we're trying to do. We need to be very sure that we walk with the Lord day by day, not get drawn aside into other things. So easy to do that. Amazingly, Gideon still asked the Lord, "Why has this happened to us? What about all your wonders and miracles you used to perform? Why aren't they happening?" The Lord saved us and now he's abandoned us. And this is the same and true for us today. If we give our lives to Jesus, he saves us, he sets us free. That doesn't mean that we can turn away and do what we like and follow other things and other traditions and other gods or other practices or start worshipping people or things or items in the house or our gardens or anything else. If we do turn away from God and his statutes, we are shutting down our relationship with God. Evil breeds evil. There's always a price to pay for evil deeds. Evil is never cheap. Look at what's happening around the world today. You can see it very clearly. You don't need me to tell you what's going on in the world today. You know it. You see it every day. We see the evil breeding evil on and on and on. It seems relentless at the time, doesn't it? The angel of the Lord tells Gideon to go and save the nation. Go and save Israel. How can I, he says. Me and my family were weak. And I, Gideon, I'm the weakest of them all. In spite of that, the angel says, Gideon is still, in spite of all that the angel says, Gideon is still not convinced that the Lord's going to do what he says. So he sets out to test the Lord. He makes a meal, and the angel of the Lord touches it with the staff, and it disappears. At last, Gideon realized what is happening. It really was the angel of the Lord he'd been speaking to. And this was a big turning point in Gideon's faith. What a change. A life in complete change. It's still amazing, though, when you read this. Gideon, the weakest of the lot, took 10 of his servants and totally destroyed his father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole. What courage from a self-confessed weak man. There you are, you can see it up on the screen there. Asherah, the mother goddess. What was the Asherah pole? They worshipped the image of this female body, the female goddess. She represented sensuality and involved ritual prostitution. Gideon was obedient to the heavenly vision. Because the altar and the Asherah idol had been smashed, the town set out and wanted to kill Gideon. But his father saved him. Amazing way he does. He said, you know, if Baal's really God, he can sort this out. You don't need to go around murdering people. And they listened to him. Amazing, isn't it? But even after that, Gideon yet again sets up another test for God. Yet another turning point in his life. That following morning, Gideon, the weakling, calls all the men to come and meet him together at the spring of Harod. How many turned up? 30,000. Can you believe that? This little weakling, Gideon, asks people to come, and 30,000 men respond and come to help him. But Gideon has more excitement to come. The Lord says, that's far too many. We don't want all those. Whittle them down. He whittled them down in the end to about 300. Why? Because as God says, I want everyone to know it's I, the Lord, who has done this, not tens of thousands of men. It's the Lord who will win the battle. The Lord then instructs Gideon to whittle them down, I say, to 300. I would have thought at this stage, Gideon would start to get a bit itchy, wouldn't you? And with 30,000 men behind you, think, yeah, right, what a roll here. When you whittle it down to 300, the odds don't quite look so good, do they? Not against the mighty armies that were surrounding them. I know Gideon, it doesn't say he was worried, but I think I would have been if I'd been in his shoes. The men had brought their lamps and trumpets, but even at this point, they face a mighty army. They're still facing this huge camp of all these Amalekites and Midianites and all the others from the east. They're staring him in the face. You know the rest of the story. It was night. It was dark. The shouting and the sounding of trumpets and bright lights, they caused havoc. Thank you, Marvin. They caused havoc and terrified the Midian army so that they fled. The victory was won. I'm still finding it amazing that the 300 men totally obeyed what Gideon said. Because they too, being part of the 30,000, must have been feeling quite tough and strong. But when they'd been whittled down, just still go on obeying Gideon, I find amazing. This weakling, another turning point of faith for Gideon. When you get home today, read again those chapters from Judges, chapter 6 and chapter 7. See if God speaks to you through it. In today's world, I believe that the same principles are true. The shouting and the trumpets for you and for me, I believe, are our voices, our verbal witness to the Lord God Almighty, all that he hears. And I think the bright lights refer to the gospel message that we have been given, the good news of Jesus. And because it's in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Question is, will we be obedient like Gideon? Or will we stand back and not share our faith with others? Like you and I, Gideon's coming to faith involved a journey. It didn't all happen at once. I guess in our lives, we've all had different turning points in our walk with the Lord. I wonder if you can remember them all. It's something we hear quite often here in the church, that God doesn't set us up to fail. God calls us to walk with him every day. His desire that we grow closer and closer to him. God calls us to be his witnesses, to share our faith, to be like those 300 men, to be bold and go forward in the name of Jesus, taking the light of Christ out into the world. I think it's easiest for us initially, like Gideon, to say to God, well, what can I do? I haven't got much strength. I'm one of the weak ones here in the church. Well, people laugh at me. I hear youngsters saying that. People laugh at me if I tell them about Jesus. Today's world, I strongly believe that people want to hear good news. How much good news do you see? How much good news do you read about? Very little. You and I, we have that good news, the good news of Jesus. And he wants us to share it with people, not just to sit on it. God calls us to be moving forward all the time, not to be complacent. I've heard all the arguments. Well, at my age, I can't do much. I'm too young. I shouldn't be going around telling people about Jesus at my age. People will laugh at me. If that is you, I have a message for you this morning. God hasn't finished with you yet. God has called us to take that light out into the darkness, to take the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus. What can we learn from all of this? Well, I'm not interested in looking back on what we've missed out, but I do pray that from here on, each and every one of us will take the openings, the opportunities that God gives us, I believe, every day. I don't believe there's a day goes past where we do not get an opportunity to say something for Jesus. Among family, friends, acquaintances, people we meet in the street. And God always starts with where we are. He leads us gently forward. It's then down to us to trust and obey. Do we trust God in this? Will we speak out for him? We'll say, well, we're not sure God's going to look after me. We have to trust God in this. It's one thing we can be certain of, that he will lead us gently forward, showing and challenging things in our lives that are wrong, and giving us the words to speak and share with other folk. If we are faithful, God will always give us the words that we need for every opportunity that we have, I believe. If we want to draw close to God, I think it's important that we come before him in prayer and worship, expecting to meet with him. And it is important we don't get involved with things that are wrong, contrary to God's will. If there are things in our lives that we know are not good, things that are contrary to God's commandments, I have a word for you this morning, kick them out. Kick them out. And if we don't be surprised if God withdraws his covering, his blessing for us. God says to us, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Remember this, if we don't kick the rubbish out, the devil loves it. It's wonderful for him. He waves his flag, he's got a victory. He knows that it'll always have an opening into our heart to draw us aside. He knows that we're not going to go around telling people about Jesus. We need to kick out the rubbish in our lives. And it's impossible to serve God and the devil. We haven't got each way bet on here. We follow one or the other. And it was only when Gideon kicked the idols out that God's blessing came down upon that community, upon Israel, and they won the victory. But the Asherah idol had to be smashed. The altar that had been set up had to be smashed. And it's really quite simple, really, but I think we make it quite difficult sometimes. I was invited to pray for a vicar along the south coast a while ago at his wife's invitation. She said, everything in the church is going wrong. Everything's wrong in our relationships and everything else. Can you pray for us? So I was invited into the man's study. And it was filled with all I can describe as idols of foreign gods. Some not very pleasant ones, I have to say. On the bookshelves, he had stands there with them listed up there. All he was surrounded by what I call beautifully made artifacts. But they're all of foreign gods. Disgusting, some of them. Goddesses and statues. And I said, if you want me to pray for you, I first really need to pray against all the rubbish that you've got in this room. It's got to go. I was thrown out. It's true. And the question, the challenge is the same for us today. Are there things in our lives which hold a higher position than Jesus? Are there things in our lives which we hold more highly than Jesus? Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the one who saved us. Jesus is the one of whom we want to speak day by day with folk we meet. Gideon's victory only came about after the altar of Baal and Asherah pole were destroyed. God is not mocked. God sees what we do. He knows what we do. He's all-knowing. If we want to play the devil's games, God will stand back and let us do it. He gives us free choice, free will. Now, I love the account in Matthew chapter 4 of Jesus' temptation. Satan showing him all the kings of the world. And they're splendid. He said, I'll give you all of these if you bow down and worship me. What a nerve. Can't believe it. Do not believe the devil's temptations, his offers. They always sound so good, so enchanting, so innocent. Come on, he says, it's only a bit of fun. Everybody does it. He longs for us to turn away from God and worship him. Use Jesus' response. Jesus told them to go away. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So I prefer to say it. Get lost, Satan. I belong to Jesus. He understands English. It's all right. You don't need to say it in Hebrew or Greek or anything else. Just tell him to get lost. Like Gideon, I believe we all should expect turning points in our lives, in our faith, as we grow closer and closer to Jesus. I wonder what the turning points were for you in your life. When things, you suddenly saw something different and you drew close to Jesus. You might like to share them with each other after the service, over coffee. One thing we can learn from all of this, you cannot expect faith to automatically follow on from generation to generation. Again, going back to Gideon, consider that. Following Deborah's victory, Israel enjoyed 40 years of peace, followed by 7 years of trouble and suffering. Why? Because they started worshipping Baal and the Asherah. Then 40 years of peace following Gideon's victory. What happened when Gideon died? They turned back to Baal and Asherah. Amazing, isn't it? And this underlines to me the importance of team ministry. If one goes down, there needs to be others following behind, following the right behind the person who's gone. It's so important we don't put all our faith and trust just on one pair of hands. We need to be eager to share our faith. We need to be eager to go together forward. It's no good if one falls off and the others just go back to worshipping other things. We need to be firm in our faith. We need to be convinced in our faith that Jesus loves us. He wants to take us. He wants to use us. He doesn't want us to go back into this whole system that the Israelites did and start worshipping other things and other people. And God calls us today to stand up and speak out for him day by day. Amen.